Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Matt Kladnick. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the fact that you want to speak to us. And man, there's so much activity in the life of church. There's so much busyness in us. God, even right now, there are people planning a funeral and planning all the details of a funeral. And there's also families making room for a new addition. And God, we are shopping and getting ready and all the chaos that the season has. But God, we do want to meet with you. And I believe that's why we're here today. It's because we want to hear your voice. We want to experience more of your presence in our life. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us today? If you want God to speak to you, just say in your own words, say, God, would you speak to me? God, would you just draw me nearer to you today? God, we thank you for what you're doing. Amen. Amen, amen. We're going to continue our series on the topic of Advent. Last week, Jennifer Thigpen was here, Pastor Jennifer. Did you guys like Jennifer? She's great, huh? She's super great. I'm glad you enjoyed Jennifer being here. I wasn't here, so I didn't hear. Is there something remarkable that you remember from last week that you want to share with us? Something that stuck out to you about what Jennifer shared? Who wants to be brave and share something they learned last week? We don't know how to wait. No, we don't. Have you ever driven past a restaurant because there's too many people there? Or the drive-thru was too long? Chick-fil-A? I've done that. Yeah, we do not wait very well. Waiting is a discipline, and we are waiting in this expectant hope that Jesus is coming back. Yeah. Hope is in the waiting. Hope grows in the waiting. What do you got, Alan? Hope is an expectancy that God keeps his word. That's great. That's really good. Well, I can't wait to listen to the podcast when it's up. This idea of Advent is really this waiting and it's this expecting. The word Advent means coming or arrival. And in the holiday season, it'd be really easy to get focused on all the other stuff of Christmas and not focused on the reality that we're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And so the Advent candles is kind of this swelling story. There were no candles lit, and then there was one, and now there's two, and then there's going to be three, and then four, and then we're going to light the Christ candle on Christmas Eve. So this is growing anticipation that Jesus' birthday is coming up. Kind of like when you get ready for your birthday, there's a little bit of anticipation about your special day. There's a lot of anticipation building as we get ready to celebrate Jesus' birth. And one of the ways that we get ready and prepare our hearts to celebrate Jesus' arrival is honestly just being more present and being in God's word. Many of you are in the YouVersion Bible reading plan. There's actually 62 people who have joined me in this Advent reading plan, which is just crazy. I don't know how many people are actually reading, but there's 62 people who have said yes to this Bible reading plan. So I'm enjoying it a lot. And if you didn't join in the Bible reading plan, then you still can. Just fast forward a couple days and catch up with all of us. But that's one of the ways we can kind of daily get ourselves ready for Christmas. Does that sound like fun? Okay, if you join the plan, I will be sure to like your comments, okay? So just to know you're there. In a few hours, I'm not going to be here anymore, and neither are you. I'm going to be someplace really exciting. I'm going to be at the Rams game watching my Seattle Seahawks. Again, I tell you guys every week, there's lots of churches. I tell you every week. I tell you every week, there's lots of churches. I'm going to give you... I know. I'm going to go to the Rams game. And one thing that you see at Rams games or you see at any football game is you're going to see someone with a sign. And you're going to see someone with a sign waving in the air, probably behind one of the goalposts, and it's going to have a verse on it. What verse is that usually? John, see, so that's a good place for us to start today, okay? John chapter 3, verse 16. Do you see how I did that? John chapter 3, 16. We're talking about love, so this is a great verse to start from. John 3, 16, it says this. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." You know, if there was a verse that you wanted to put to memory, this should be the one of the first verses. Well, you can do this. Jesus wept, memorize that one, and then go on to something more challenging with John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." God's motivation to reconcile God and humanity back together, his motivation was love. The motivation wasn't, I feel required to do this, or I feel I'm reluctantly going to have to go ahead and reconcile this. His motivation was love. God did what he did in sending Jesus, and his motivation was love. Love for you. Everyone say, for me? Yes, for you. God's motivation, his motivation to do the most brilliant thing ever in history was to send his son. He did it for you. Like, he saw you. His sacrifice of his son, his bringing of his son, God becoming flesh, coming onto earth, was motivated because he wanted to reconcile you back to God. The chasm, the divide between us and God was so wide that there was nothing, no effort on our part that could ever bridge that gap. So God did something miraculous. He bridged the gap for us. And he made a way so that you and I can know God again. And I am eternally, literally, eternally grateful that God did what he did for me. I'm eternally grateful that God did what he did for you. Not only that you can have a brilliant and blessed life today, but you can have eternity with him. It's really, really good news. This is an altogether different version of love than you and I have experienced. The love that God demonstrated in sending his son was altogether more brilliant than anything you could ever conjure up on your own. Our experience of love, the metaphors we can think of for love, the descriptions we have for love, they're all inadequate compared to the love that God actually has for us. We sang about it earlier, but his love is reckless. It's wildly contagious. His love is brilliant. His love, it has no strings attached. His love is void of any selfish motivation. His love is resilient. His love is pure. And this verse says that he so loved the world. He was overflowing with this type of love for you and me. And his adequate response to his love was to give. And I think that's really what real love does. Real love, real brilliant love, like the Bible describes, is at its core sacrificial. It doesn't seek to gain anything. It seeks to give everything. It's altogether different than much of the love you've experienced in your life. Can I tell you a story about when I fell in love? Not to Grace. When I was 13, I had a girlfriend. That shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, look at me. When I was 13, maybe 14, I was still too young. I met a girl, her name was Angie Turner. Angie Turner had huge hair, which at this time was really a fashion statement. Like, she had a huge head of hair, and so she was really popular. Angie Turner and I became boyfriend and girlfriend, and I think it's ironic because the phrase we used back, and so take 43, subtract all those other years, you'll get how many years it's been, but the term was going out. So Angie Turner and I were going out, and I always hated that term, even then, because I was like, we're not actually going out. I can't drive. Remember, I thought it was so weird. Like, I remember my friends asked me, did you ask her out? I'm like, where to? Like, I can't go anywhere. Like, I was so dependent on my mom and dad taking me places. But Angie Turner and I were going out, which means we were boyfriend and girlfriend. And I went to her youth group a couple times. And I think we went roller skating, couples skate. Anybody remember couples skate? Pretty serious stuff. You know, what I think about is, when I think about the love I had for Angie Turner, you know, you just can't trust your feelings and emotions. Not at 13, not at 23, not at 33, not at 43. I don't know if you can trust your feelings or emotions. But at some point in time in my dating of Angie Turner, we had this moment where the next thing was to tell each other that you love each other. It was weird. Because I didn't really know what love was, and I didn't really know how to describe it. And it was kind of like the first time I said, I love you, and I wanted it to mean something, and I didn't want it just to be cheap, but we had this, and so we had conversations like this. So, Angie, I like you. And she'd say, I like you too. And I'd go, no, I like you. And then she would say, I think I like you too. I'd say, I don't think you understand. I like really, really like you forever like you. And then she would say, I do understand because I like you forever like you too. And then I would say, Angie, I think I might like you. And, you know this story. And then she said, I think I like you too. It sounded like you just said love. No, did I? Maybe. Finally, the words came out, I love you. And I had to say this while being on the phone, because again, I can't see her. I actually have a picture of myself right after this conversation was done. So, that's me. And and I remember we had a phone just like, okay, that's not really me. We had a phone just like that one. And I remember I didn't want my parents to hear me tell Angie Turner that I loved her. Remember that? I didn't want my parents to hear me say it. I didn't want to. And so we didn't have cell phones. I couldn't get too far away. I had this long corded phone, and I walked as far away from the phone, the receiver, as I could, stretching out that cable all around the corner to have this deep conversation professing my love for her. I didn't look all too different than that, really. Honestly, I mean, I was a little bit buffer than that. But other than that, it was pretty accurate. Thank God that he doesn't love the world like I loved Angie Turner. Because the love that I had for Angie Turner, it was far from noble. The love I had for Angie Turner, it was far from pure and selfless. The love I had for Angie Turner, it was selfish. It was prompted by peer pressure. My profession of love for her, it wasn't like a deep feeling. It was just this is the next thing I must say to you because we have been dating for 3 weeks or whatever. I'm so glad that God doesn't love us like I loved Angie Turner, because the love that I had for Angie Turner, it had strings attached. I was embarrassed to tell anybody about it. There was nothing, I couldn't even talk about loving her in front of my family. When I would hang up, I would say, I like you a lot, bye. I just couldn't even say the words. And you know, as a parent now, poor mom and dad, right? My mom and dad had to know all the weird stuff that was going on. I mean, I'm literally around the corner. I like you, you like me. And gosh, in about 7 years, and my daughter she'll have a cell phone. I'm gonna chain it to a wall so that she can't get too far away. When we think about God's love for us, it's so far from the love you've ever experienced. And the first time you said, I love you to somebody, man, that God doesn't love you like you love that person. And God doesn't love you like that person said they loved you, because a lot of our stories, love has been used as a weapon. Love has been used to wound us. Love has been used to corner us. Love has been used to get something from us. Love has been like a sneak attack to something else in our lives. And God's love for us is not at all like that. His love is reckless. His love is pure. His love is holy. His love is righteous. His love wants the best for us. He's demonstrated his love for us in sending his son for us, and without anything to gain. There's no commitment on our side. God did everything he needed so that we could have relationship back with the Father, and there's nothing required on our side. There's no promises on our side that we're going to reciprocate any of that love. His love is just way different than the love you and I have ever experienced. You know, I think as a pastor and being here today with you, gosh, the Christmas decorations look great and our building is great. And my fear, church, can I talk about one of my fears? Okay, not a fear. A concern that I have is that you'll really enjoy church. I have a real concern that you'll enjoy your time with us on Sunday. And I have a concern that you'll like the songs. I have a concern that you'll like the band. I have a concern that you'll like your cozy seat. I have a concern that you'll like me. I have a concern that you'll enjoy the sermon. I have a concern that all this feels homey and comfortable. And this is why I have a concern, because you could enjoy all those things, but if you miss experiencing personally the love that God has for you, it's all for nothing. Yeah. I mean, we work really hard at doing all the good things on Sundays, but there's a purpose behind it. It is that you would personally experience the love of God for yourself. And if you don't, and you miss it all, and you just see the lights, and you just see the trees, and the cool drummer, hi, Andy. But if you just see all that stuff and you miss the fact that we're doing this so that God's love can become real for you, that you, it can be tangible, that you can experience his love today, then it's all for nothing. It's all just lots of words I shouldn't say. It's just baloney. I mean, assert your own swear word in that place. It's all for naught. It's all worthless. It's all meaningless if you don't personally experience the love of God for yourself. And I can't do it for you. If I could, I would. All I can do is just point you and say, "This. I know you're looking for satisfaction. I know you're looking for hope. I know you're looking for peace. And I can just point you, it's over there. It's Jesus. It's just over there. And you got to go for it yourself. That's why in worship, I love our worship leaders. Because Grace is saying this, I can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. You got to do this for yourself. You got to chase after Jesus yourself. All we're doing is we're just clearing out all the obstacles out of the way to make him accessible for you. For us, Sundays is about we want to remove every obstacle to coming to faith for you. We want to remove every hindrance to you putting your faith in Jesus. Tell you what, on Monday, we're going to equip you to run the race of faith because there will be obstacles in it. But on Sundays, every obstacle, every challenge, everything that would distort who Jesus is, we want to get it out of the way so you can see Jesus for as magnificent as he really is. So you can give him your whole heart. And then tomorrow when things get hard, he's going to equip you to do the hard stuff. But for today, coming to Jesus, it's easy. Can you think of the last time you experienced the love of God? I mean, and it's got to be more than a cranial thing. I think God loves me. My love for Grace is different. I can't just think she loves me. It's an experience. And God wants us to experience his love. Our first core value here is encounter God. And it's the first of our core values for a reason, because it's the most important. I mean, we can't be equipped and discipled. We can't love our city unless we first experience God. I don't know. I was listening to a song on a run yesterday, and it was a Manchester Orchestra song, one of my favorites, Mano. And there's a song called You Mean Everything. And I might say these words and we may just pray and leave. It can be hard to hear God's voice and it can be hard in all the clutter, but if God could speak to you today, I wonder what he'd say. And I have a feeling these are words that he may want to say to you today, that you mean everything. Do you ever think God would say that to you? You mean everything. He's not disappointed in you. He's not upset with you. You mean everything. And his love is vast, and his love is big. And there's enough of his love for all of us to have a sample of today, right? The idea that God accepts us, and Jason's in the house. Jason preached a couple weeks back during the Doubt series, and this is essentially his sermon done over again. I wish I could lead you into experience of God's love. And all I really can do is I can just point you to God and just hope that you'll accept his invitation to more of who he is. I think that there are a lot of things that hinder us from coming to God that way. I think there's a lot of things that seem to be obstacles that we don't want to experience his love. There's a lot of fears attached. If I really experience God's love, then what? And we ask those sorts of questions. Or we think that we're unworthy of his love. That's another big one. How could God love me because of, and then just what, all the things you can think of. You know, God, his love, remember, it's different than the love I had for Angie Turner. Hi, Grace. The love that God has for you is different than any love you could ever imagine. So you have to reframe what his love looks like for you, because his love is different than any love you've ever experienced before. So you can come to God confidently. Shane, I'm going to need your help, and I'm going to need you to shout the words "I love you" every time I point to you, okay? Can you shout the words "I love you" when I point to you? Okay. Oh, plug your ears. Okay. God looks at you and all of your mistakes and he says,
"I love you."
God looks at you and all of your shame and he says,
"I love you."
God looks at you with all your trophies and your accolades and he says,
"I love you."
God looks at you in the middle of all your sorrows and pain, and he says,
I love you.
God looks at you in the middle of your suffering, and he says,
I love you.
God looks at you in the middle of all your doubts, and he says,
I love you.
God looks at you right now.
I love you.
King David in the Bible knew a lot about God's love. One of the things I love about King David is King David was a bit of a disaster, just like you and me and Shane. King David knew what it was like to have deep and profound moments with God, and King David knew what it was like to be a huge offense to God. And that is really helpful for you and I, because we can come to God in similar ways that David did. And I want to read to you Psalm 103. I'm going to read it to you in the Message paraphrase, so it'll be different than what's in your Bible, so it gets the spirit of the verse here. Psalm 103, it says this in the Message. We're going to read 14 verses together. It says this: "Oh, my soul, bless God. From head to toe, I'll bless his holy name. Oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing." Listen to this. "He forgives your sins, everyone. He heals your disease, everyone. He redeems you from hell, saves your life. He crowns you with love and mercy, a paradise crown. He wraps you in goodness, beauty eternal. He renews your youth. You're always young in his presence." Verse 6, "God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. He showed Moses how he went about his work. He opened up his plans to all Israel. God is sheer mercy and grace. Not easily angered, he's rich in love. He doesn't endlessly nag or scold nor hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. As high as heaven is over the earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him. And as far as sunrise is from sunset, he has separated us from our sins. As parents feel for their children, God feels for those who fear him. He knows us inside and out. He keeps in mind that we're made of mud." Just as we heard, there are many benefits to experiencing God's love. And I just want to talk about three things as we close today. I want to talk about three of the benefits that I saw in Psalm 103 about experiencing God's love. Number one is this: God's love offers us forgiveness. Verse number 3 says, "Who forgives all your iniquity?" I mean, let's just focus on that. God forgives all our iniquities. Not some of them. He doesn't just prioritize the top 3 that he's going to let go of, or the bottom 3 he's going to let go of. God forgives all of our iniquity. And we see this priority in Jesus' ministry. It wasn't just that Jesus wanted to go around proclaiming good news. He wanted to give people an opportunity to have their sins forgiven. Jesus loves to meet us right where we are, and he loves to change us right where we are. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it says that it is his kindness that leads us to repentance. It is his kindness that leads us to repentance. If you're always scolding, yelling at your kids, then your kids aren't going to feel safe to come to you with their stuff. But if you are overflowing with kindness, you become available for your kids to tell you their stuff. There's a parent lesson right here for me. Because it's easy to be angry and disappointed with our kids, and then they think that they can't come to us with their stuff. But God is overflowing. It is his kindness that draws us. It is his kindness that makes it feel safe for us to be vulnerable and honest again. And today is a great day. Today is a great day that you can experience the forgiveness of God. Imagine the weight of the sin and shame that you carried in. Imagine that you leave and you don't have to carry it. Just imagine. I mean, I don't know about you, but there's some stuff. We all have stuff. But imagine that you could come to Jesus today, knowing that his love is vast, knowing that his love is grand, knowing that his love is without end, and you could come to him and say, God, would you please forgive me? And he doesn't turn and smack you. He doesn't turn and rebuke you. He doesn't turn and hurt you or wound you. He just says, "I'm glad you came to me, Matt. I'm glad you finally came to me. It is about time, because I wanted to take these things from you, and I want to clothe you with righteousness. I want to take the shame off you. I want to lift that burden off you. I want to lift and remove that guilt so that you can run the race that I have for you. I'm going to equip you to do every good thing I have for you, but you've got to let go of some of these things that entangle you, these snares, these things that hold you back. I want to leave this place different, don't you?
Yes.
I want to leave this place changed, transformed, don't you?
Yes.
If you don't, then you just wasted your morning. I mean, this, I can give you a list of other things you could do, but God wants to set you free. Like he really does. It's why he came. Jesus came to earth, not just to put on a show, but to demonstrate what love really looks like so you could walk in freedom again. Not bound anymore. Free from the guilt and the stress and the shame. I love the fact that you can let it all go. Don't make me sing "Let It Go." I will. I'm going to give you a moment in about 10 minutes that you can actually do some business with God. And if you came today and you're feeling like you got some sin in your life that you want to repent of, I want you to know that God is ready and he is anticipating. He's looking forward to a conversation with you in about 10 minutes where you can do this divine trade where you hand him your guilt and shame, and he gives you his righteousness.
Amen.
It is the best trade. It is unfair for him. It is so good for you.
Yeah.
Number two, God's love offers us a fresh start. Verse number four, it says, who redeems your life from the pit. God's love, it doesn't just want to clean up your past, but God wants to give you clarity, and God wants to give you focus for the future.
Yeah.
So it's kind of these two things. So this whole moment in God's love, it's this redeeming of your past, and it's also this establishing you and presenting to you a brand new future. Isn't that brilliant? Then we come to God and we experience his love. He goes, there's some stuff, there's some garbage from your past. I want to redeem it. I want to fix it. I want to renew it. And now I want to give you brand new perspective for your future. That's brilliant. Maybe that's you today and you can't see tomorrow. Maybe that's you today and the thought of jumping into a brand new year is overwhelming and scary. And I don't know what your family stuff is, your finance stuff, your health stuff is. 2020 can look very bleak, very chaotic. Well, God wants to give you his perspective for the next year. And if you jump into this next year with your limited, finite perspective, you are going to be overwhelmed. But if you look at your year from God's perspective, you're going to have new hope for what he has for you. And in light of how God has redeemed and rescued your past, I think I can trust him with my future too, right? God can take your messy, broken life and redeem it. And doesn't a fresh start sound good? Number three, God has endless love and grace for you. Verse 11 says it this way, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. And I actually think this is one of the most brilliant benefits of experiencing God's love, and a requirement to experience his love often, is that God lavishes us with his extensive, extravagant, unending love. What if I could tell you, what's your favorite candy? Can you just think of your favorite candy? You got one in your mind?
Candy corn.
Candy corn, of course. Oh, brother. You're the only one that feels that way, Patrick. Can you imagine, though, you just thought of your favorite candy, or if you're not into candy, maybe you thought of raisins or something. But imagine your favorite candy, and imagine if you had an unending supply of your favorite candy. Imagine you had a drawer in your house, Patrick. This is going to make you drool. Imagine you had a drawer in your house. You could just pull the drawer out, and then just streams of this candy would flow out of this drawer. I think the Lord's speaking to you, Patrick. But imagine you had an unending supply of your favorite candy. But imagine that if you did, would you be generous with this unending supply of candy, or would you hoard it to yourself? Would you hoard it to yourself, or would you realize, I've got an endless supply, I should share it with everyone? See, when we tap into God's love, we tap into this endless supply of his love. There is no shortage of it. It doesn't end. We can draw from his love whenever we need. And you're going to need his love often because you're around people that are very difficult to love. Don't look at your neighbor. You're around people who are really hard to love sometimes. And unless you experience God's love firsthand, you can't love them the way that God would want you to love them. Because the love you have is like the love I had for Angie Turner. It's selfish. It's not noble. It's not pure. It has strings attached. And God wants you to love each other with love, the kind of love that he has. Love that is vulnerable. Love that is passionate. Love that is caring. Love that is selfless, not selfish. And so we can come to God. When we tap into his love, we become conduits for his love, right? When we tap in, when we plug into his source of love, you have a never-ending supply of love and grace to spend on the people you care about the most. You don't have to worry about running out of love for other people anymore, because you've experienced love that surpasses all other loves. And God is constantly wanting to fill you with his love. From sunrise to sunset, from the heavens to the earth, that's how far his love is for you. It's vast. It's never ending. You don't have to worry about running out. So there should be no obstacle, no challenge to love the difficult people in your life, because you have an endless supply. And the love that God has for you doesn't require their approval. The love that God has for you doesn't require that they respond the way you want them to respond. You just simply have to dispense his love to other people around. And it is their responsibility with how they're going to handle that kind of grace and mercy. Just like how you responded to God's grace and mercy through someone who loved you. And I think all of us can think of someone who loved us well, who gave us a picture of what God's love really looks like. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, it says that God has loved us with an everlasting love. He has loved us with an everlasting love. He has a never-ending supply of his love. When we experience God's love and his grace, we're able to love others the way that we're supposed to. When we talk about God's love, again, this is one of those things that I can't experience it for you. And I can describe what it looks like and what it feels like, but it's really something you need to have a firsthand experience of. As Tyra climbed a mountain, what mountain did you climb a while back?
Mount Whitney.
She could describe Mount Whitney in ways that I never could. Why? Because she experienced it. She could describe what it feels like to breathe the air at that altitude. She could describe the temperature. She could describe the smells and the sights in ways that I never, ever could until I climb Mount Whitney, which I will not. So the same is true for God's love. I can try to give you a picture of what it feels like to be loved by God. I can try to describe the benefits of being loved by God. And until you actually take the journey yourself to experience his love, it all feels and sounds weird. But it doesn't have to be weird. There's something about putting a little bit of movement behind your prayers today. And I'm going to invite you, and we haven't done this in a long time, but if at any point in this song, if you feel like you want to come up and experience God's love afresh in your heart, I just want you to come up to the altar. I know we haven't done this in a long time, but we're getting back to our roots today. We're getting back to experience his love, firsthand, personal experiences of his love. So as we sing this song, when you want to come up, I just invite you, come on up. There's going to be some pastors up here who are ready, and we want to pray with you that you'd experience his love afresh. If it's been a long time that you experienced God's love, this is a good day. If you've never experienced God's love in your life, this is an even better day. So will you stand with me? And when you feel ready and you want to come up and encounter God's love, then you just come on, make your way forward. And God, we know that when we experience your love, we are radically changed. So God, I pray that you would change every heart, every mind in this place, not only people that came forward, but those that are in the seats in front of me. God, we thank you that an encounter with your love, it transforms us, it changes us. God, I pray that you would change every part of our lives, our motivations, our attitudes, our feelings, our emotions. God, would you redeem and rescue every part of us that is broken and messy. And God, we thank you that this Christmas season we get to focus in on the fact that you have loved us so well, and you have loved us so greatly. And God, we can come to you confidently to experience your love and your grace. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, I pray for those that are here today who, even in their time, just in our song, that they had confessions to make. They had things that they wanted to repent of. And God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, that it is your Holy Spirit that leads us to repentance, but it is also your Holy Spirit that empowers us to live righteously. So God, would you do that in all of us? God, those who have laid down things today, they have laid down addictions, they have laid down attitudes and behaviors, they've laid down things that have caused burden and shame in them. And God, I pray that they would be empowered to live in freedom moving out of this place. God, I pray that the best advertisement this church could have or any church could have would be a whole bunch of transformed, changed lives. So God, change us from the inside out. Thank you for your love. Can you say thank you for your love? Thank you for your love, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, let's be the church. We'll see you next Sunday.